But you have to understand that all of us are going to face problems. And your normal reaction is to blow up or run away or go quiet or punish somebody or swear. And if you know that's not biblical, hang on to your handlebars and you have to get out of it. If you don't, you're going to start imagining a bad future. Oh, this is going to crash. Oh, my marriage is full of problems. You know where anxiety comes from? Would you write this in your notes? Anxiety comes from imagining a future without including God.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. In the book of Proverbs, it says, "As a man thinks in his heart, so is he." Much of who you and I are is based on how we think about ourselves. That is why we need to put on the mind of Christ. Here is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, "Putting on the Mind of Christ."
Let me speak a moment to parents. Let's read Deuteronomy 6 and let me launch on this for a second. Ride this hobby horse for a second. Let's read it. Go. "These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts." Here it is. "Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and even when you get up." Yeah, what is he saying? He's saying, what kind of culture does your home have? Talk about all of these things. It should be like voiceless pictures that are speaking, silent megaphones that are saying, this is who we are. This is who you get to be. If someone came to your house and spent just 5 minutes incognito listening to conversation and looking at what you have on the walls and how you're, where you're coming from, your environment, what kind of culture would they say you have? Because every home has a culture. Every church has a culture. It may not be the culture you want, but you will have a culture. Even unintentionally, you have a culture because you're going to put up stuff on your walls, what you value. Oh, I value family. Great. Everyone values family pretty much. Or what else? Well, I have a picture of a horse. Okay, you value horses. What else? That's kind of it. Then I have, you know, nonchalant kind of stuff. I look at that and I think, no, we need to have silent megaphones that are speaking to our children. Maybe a scripture, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path." John 15:16, "You didn't choose me, I chose you and appointed you that you should go forth and bear fruit." Jeremiah 29:11, "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans not for your calamity, but for your welfare, in order that you might have a future and a hope." You have these different scriptures. These are like silent megaphones so that that's where our kids will be coming from. So that there's a cloud of witnesses surrounding them that speak to them the word of God. What kind of culture do you have? Think through that. Look through that. If someone comes to your home and leaves in 5 minutes, can they tell that you love Jesus without you preaching to them? What kind, where are you coming from? Think that through. And if you're a young person, what's in your room? How do you decorate your room? Do you have, like, you know, celebrities that have staples all through their head and coming out their nose? And we might get enamored with their voice, a voice you won't ever have, or looks we won't get, or money that is not what we're supposed to be after. But what it does is it's telling you every day, you need to be like me. You have no idea what kind of faith life they have, spiritual life they have, what they think about God. But that makes you almost being drawn to that because that's the voice that speaks to you every day when you get up. But the Bible says, no, the word of God should be spoken to them when they get up, when you lie down, when you come in. You understand that? When they go out. That's where they're coming from. How are we going to renew our mind to God if nobody's talking to us? The Bible says faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. If they don't hear it, how are they going to have faith for it? But they'll have the world speaking to them. Every playlist, every time they turn on their iPhone earbuds, every time they listen to something on Sonos or on iTunes, it's going to be music from the world. Hopefully they're listening to Christian music, but what is speaking to you to help you? Where are you coming from? Where are you coming from? Bible says this. Let's read in Malachi 2:15. Would you read it? And this is to parents. Go. Has not the one God made you? You belong to him in body and spirit. And what does the one God seek? Here it is. Godly. Continue. So be on your guard and do not be unfaithful to the wife of your. You know, the best thing I can do for my kids is to love their mother. To be faithful to the wife of my youth. And when my kids grow up in that environment, they're coming from something that's of faith. You understand? So what does God want? You know what God wants? Godly offspring. So if there's one thing we can do is just give him godly offspring. So where are they coming from? Rethink your house. Rethink what's going on. And then finally, would you ask yourself this question? What are you correcting to? Because all of us need correcting the way we think. Because the way we think when we come to Christ is our thoughts that have been unschooled by the Spirit, totally educated by the world, totally educated by hurts, maybe revenge, maybe anger, maybe betrayal, maybe molestation. But now we have all of these pillars upon which our thoughts are going to be based. And when we come to Christ, we need to correct all of these. Because you can't think that way, have a spirit that's regenerated and a mind that's unregenerate. It's going to cause confusion in your life and mine. We'll get complicated and get mad. It's like, man, this stuff of Christ is just so hard. There's a war going on inside of me. Well, we need to renew the spirit of our minds. And so we've got to make sure that we are basing it on the principles of God's word. And what are we doing? We're correcting it to something. What are we going to correct it to? The world, the legislature? The laws? No. Here it is. Let's read 2 Timothy 3:16. Would you read it with me? Go. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, reproof, and training in. Yeah. Let the word of God start to train you. So what God's word says is the way I'm going to think. And I have to unlearn this and replace it with this. That becomes what calibrates the way I think. Our thinking, how many of you would say my thinking still needs to be calibrated? Yeah, not just mine, yours, I mean, yeah. Some of you go, yeah, you need to recalibrate your mind, dude. Some time ago, my wife and I had a little contest who would lose like 4 or 5 pounds the fastest. And so I got on the scales about a week later and I'd lost like 4 or 5 pounds. I thought, yes, this is so cool. And I got off the bathroom scale and it zeroed at a -4. No. So when you reach down there and you recalibrate it, you know what I mean? Those old scales, like, oh. But, you know, reality struck. But the Bible says it in this way, you shall know the truth and the truth will. And I would add a little bit more, but before it makes you free, sets you free, it'll make you miserable. Because you come to the reality that I need some recalibration. Think of it this way. Every precise or precision instrument requires constant recalibration. A microscope, a telephoto lens, you're constantly recalibrating it to get things into focus. A telescope. Of surgical instruments, digital instruments, even our computers need to be updated, recalibrated. But nothing is more precision than the soul of the human heart. And we must have it recalibrated often because you're gonna bump into problems. You're going to bump into somebody yelling at you on the freeway, giving you the one-way sign to heaven. And you're going to think, what? Oh, I'm going to go after him. Well, you know, recalibrate back to the way God wants. If you keep going that way and you give into your flesh, do you understand how you develop a pattern of response? Pretty soon that becomes your default. And now when we come to Christ, we have all of these pathways that are defaults in the way that we react. And we come to Christ and our hearts get regenerated, but we still get mad here. What about that? Who does he think he is? And then we think, oh, Lord, I just need to be changed from glory to glory. I can't do it on my own. But there are pathways in your brain that they're like ruts, that it's easy to get caught in a rut. Up in the tundra in the Arctic, there's thousands and thousands of square miles of tundra. And when the trucks go through that area, they leave big ruts. And someone put a sign before one of those ruts that goes forever. And he put a sign that says, choose your rut wisely. You'll be in it for the next 100 miles. And see, these ruts are creases in your brain. And if you've ever been riding a bicycle and you go into one of those ruts, it's like you can't get out of them. And if you try, you spill. But if you can, you just put on the power, you grip those handlebars, and you get out of it intentionally. That's the only way to get out of it. Isn't that right? And when you come to Christ, the Bible will say one thing, but your flesh will say, no, this is the way that I'm used to doing it. But you say, no, I've got to get out of this. And once you recognize it, the truth will set you free, but you still have to hang on to your handlebars and pump like crazy. And once you get out of it and you do it again and again and again and again and again, pretty soon the old rut erodes, the new pathway begins, and now you start thinking like Jesus would think. Your first reaction will be what Jesus would react to and how he would respond. You understand? And you do that enough times, you start developing the mind of Christ. Is it easy? Mm-mm. I have to level with you. It ain't easy. It's not. So you say, well, how in the world do you do that? Well, you have to understand that all of us are going to face problems. And your normal reaction is to blow up or run away or go quiet or punish somebody or swear or whatever it is. And if you know that's not biblical, hang on to your handlebars. And you have to get out of it. If you don't, you're going to start imagining a bad future. Oh, this is going to crash. Oh, my marriage is full of problems. Oh, this church is no good. It's like, whoa, 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 whoa. You know where anxiety comes from? Would you write this in your notes? Anxiety comes from imagining a future without including God. Imagining a future without including God. Well, my marriage won't make it. Have you included God in on this yet? No. Include God. If you don't, anxiety will be the result. Anxiety is imagining it. Remember, Satan is a headhunter. Your mind is the battlefield. And capturing your imagination will be his trophy. He wants to capture your imagination so he can spin it any way he wants to. And most of the times, he'll get you to imagine a future without including God. And boy, you think about the source of anxiety, there you got it. So you've got to include God. And say, okay, all right, Lord, I've got to. Otherwise, there's a story. The doctor comes to this patient and he says, I got bad news and worse news. What do you want first? He said, give me the worst news. You have 24 hours to live. He goes, what can be worse than that? He said, I forgot to tell you yesterday. So how do you do that when each of us are going to run into some problems and old default, old ruts? How do you do that? When I first came to Christ, my mind was in the gutter. And every other word was a F word or a swear word. And I was living a life that wasn't kosher and wasn't God. And when I came to Christ, my spirit got regenerated, but I'd have words going on and thoughts in my mind that I couldn't control. And they would just blast in there, overwhelm me, almost like a spiritual septic, kind of, you know, like sepsis. I was just overwhelmed with bacteria of the world. And I remember saying, God, I got to renew my mind. Because I love you, but I can't think like a Christian does. I'd be praying and swear words would come in or lusty thoughts would come in. And I think, I just can't do this. It's just too much. I almost reverted back, what they call backsliding, because it's a lot easier back there. And the Lord just said, I want you to start memorizing scripture because the scripture has to overwrite what's going on in your head. The old stuff has to be overwritten. I thought, Lord, okay. So I started memorizing scripture. Was it easy? No, it's hanging on to the grips of your bike and getting out of those ruts. And so I would put scripture on 3x5 cards and memorize them. I started doing daily devotions, and that helped so much. Can I tell you what a lifesaver just daily devotions are? And if you haven't started that, go up to the bookstore. There's the Divine Mentor book and a journal. The most important critical investment you can ever make will not be in stocks or mutuals. It'll be in improving your own life. That's the greatest investment you can make, hands down, believe me. In your growth, in your faith journey, in your knowledge, in your character. I tell business people, work harder on yourself than you work on your job. Because when you improve, everybody around you becomes automatic beneficiaries of your improvement. Work harder on yourself. It's the greatest investment. Go up, get a book that's called A Divine Mentor and pick up a journal and follow that. And that's what I do every morning. Did it this morning before I came to church, daily devotions and then memorizing scripture. And this is what the Lord said. I want you to memorize large doses, like chapters at a time. What I didn't know was God knew what was coming up and that I would need a new basis of thinking. If not, I would sink. And so he had me start to memorize scripture. I remember memorizing Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans not for your calamity, but for your welfare, in order that you might have a future and a hope. Psalm 91. He who seeks security under the arms of the Almighty will rest in the shadow of his wings. And he will keep you from the pestilence and the tempest by night and the arrows that fly by day. For 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but no harm will come near to you. Psalm 125. He who trusts in the Lord will be like Mount Zion. He shall not be moved. What I didn't know is when Anna and I went to Hilo, a lady came to Christ right at the beginning of our ministry, not knowing that this was the girlfriend of one of the syndicate guys. It's like the mafia on the Big Island, which was a pretty prevalent organization at that time. And she quit doing cocaine with her boyfriend and quit sleeping with them and started going to church and said, we were going to need to break up. And at midnight, my wife remembers this, I got a call. And I thought, oh, it's someone from the church. So I called and this guy's on the other end. He said, you ruined my life. That was his first words. You ruined my life. I said, excuse me? You ruined my life. My woman, he called her my woman. My woman doesn't partake with me. And she's not in here. She wants to leave me. He said, you ruined my life. She became religious at your church. You ruined my life and I'm about to ruin yours. Then he said this, don't leave your house. Click. I thought, okay, you know, I don't think I need to leave my house tomorrow. I don't have it. Fear struck me like a lightning bolt. And I started sweating and having anxiety attacks and thinking, what we called the police and they started doing surveillance, but no guarantees, right? And so this fear just invaded me. I thought, wow, what's going on? And I began to imagine a future without God. I was trying to think, what am I going to do? What do I do? How do I resolve this? Do I go after him? What do I do? And then I thought, wait a minute. God has been asking me to repattern the way I think. I'm still thinking the old way. I need to rethink the new. And he showed me again the promises that he had been giving me that I was supposed to memorize. And it was almost like God knew what was coming up, so he prepared all of this and said, now think the way I want you to think. Listen carefully, and you can write this in your notes. Don't doubt in the dark what God has already shown you in the light. Because there's going to come dark times in your life. Don't doubt in the dark what God has shown you in the light. Apply it. Well, after a while, things kind of settled down and the police were on surveillance. And about a month later, that lady called me and said, you know, my boyfriend was called to a job. He has to do a job, like snuff somebody out. He was called to do a job. I think it was in LA. I can't remember. And she said, but he left and we haven't heard from him since. Until this day, we don't know where he is. It's like God just took him out. And I thought, Lord, you said, huh? 1,000 may fall at the side, 10,000 at my right, but no harm will come you. For those who trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion. You shall not be moved. I thought, Lord, you're really right. It was about 10 years later that the attorney general's office called me and said, there's been a hit on, a threat to have a hit on your life. And he's coming from LA, but don't worry. They said, we're watching the airport. And I thought, what? This is during the same-sex marriage time. And so there's a lot of threats going on. And the police said, you need to wear a vest when you preach. I said, no, I'm not wearing a vest. I said, no, they make them very thin now. It's all right. Can't tell. I said, I wear Aloha shirts. He said, no, they won't be able to tell. I said, forget it. Why? Because I know the promises of God. Everything changed. Your thinking changes. Remember, anxiety is envisioning a future without including God. Include him. But it requires you to think differently, to renew the spirit of your mind. And God will give you a new way of thinking, a new perspective, a courage that's uncanny. It's out of this world because it's heavenly. And God has that for you. God has that for all of us. Take a look around and see the world in which we live. Do you think we need faith today? Do we need courage today? Absolutely. But that only comes not just by the regeneration of our spirit, but the renewing of our mind so that we think the way Jesus wants us to think. I want to encourage you to have the eyes of faith, to have the mind of Christ. And it won't be an overnight thing. Hang on to your handlebars because you're going to be in a rut sometimes. But that's a good sign because it tells you that God's leading you another way. And you know where true north is. And I'm going to go with that. And I'm not going to be going another way because God has taught me and I'm going to follow it. Some of you need to take this message, weave it into the fabric of your heart, and begin to practice it because God has something great in store for you. We're not waiting on God. He's waiting on us. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together.
You have just heard the conclusion of a message entitled Putting on the Mind of Christ by Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. Thank you for listening. Until next time, remember what Pastor Wayne said.
Well, you have to understand that all of us are going to face problems, and your normal reaction is to blow up or run away or go quiet or punish somebody or swear. And if you know that's not biblical, hang on to your handlebars and you have to get out of it. If you don't, you're going to start imagining a bad future. Oh, this is going to crash. Oh, my marriage is full of problems. You know where anxiety comes from? Would you write this in your notes? Anxiety comes from imagining a future without including God.
Now for Pastor Wayne and all the family at New Hope, God bless you and have a great day in the Lord.